No, there's no caffeine, unfortunately, but there is stuff like crystal meth.
The Sunday Skypers. A RPG actual play podcast.
I have a lot of interesting things in the bag for today. I was up a little early, so I'm getting to that point where I'm kind of a little tired. I think it may work to my advantage today because I'm just deranged enough to be dangerous, and really enjoy the gratuitous narrations of horrible dismemberment and so forth, which won't necessarily happen, but you know it might. Especially now that I saw that Dirk had changed one of his beliefs to making sure that Flint doesn't get himself killed in this allegedly ancient vault.
Yeah, I was looking at the three you suggested, and I was still debating which one of them I want to use. Yeah. Also, I'm looking at the fact that, you know, the way things go, I might only be able to do one, and, you know, hey, I will make sure we leave on time. Well, actually, that one needs to be changed then, because I'm not going to be there making sure we leave on time.
I think you should keep it, because then you can, you know, grab Flint by the lapels and drag him out.
There you go. Yeah.
When he doesn't want to leave.
Yeah, or it's be a source of vexation for me because I've said, well, you look, in the, you know, there's this keg up there on that ledge.
Well, I have to go. Yes, exactly. Well, like I said, I mean, it might be a practical thing for him to, since you know there's a beer shortage and you know you will have to brew or scavenge for stuff, or send people back to Marl to get more supplies, so it might be a practical thing to look for beer or nog in.
Of course, that would be
the vault. And unless Flint Todd wants to change anything, you're pretty much good. Discover the secret of the puzzle wall.
I'm good where I'm at.
All right, cool. I don't know if you meant it to be that way, but I enjoy the element that, you know, you wrote it next to the belief about being Fandral's axe. It sort of looks like it's kind of incumbent on Fandral to help you discover the puzzle wall, the secret of the puzzle wall. If he doesn't, then I'm sure you didn't necessarily mean it that way, but I like the way it's ended up.
That's going to have to be something I did totally subconsciously. Cause like,
what, you're not that clever?
I don't remember being that clever. I may have been at the time.
Yeah. Well, if you want to just leap headlong into it, we can do that.
I think you want to start in media res. We're at the wall.
Yes, pretty much. So, well, I thought, you know, since this is a concession, really, since Flint lost the Dulewitz, this is, you know, you're on a tight time frame, and we shouldn't really make it any more than a little mini romp.
Yeah.
And this means that chiefly I'm going to judge failures on how much time they take. So, you know, if you test something, you're not necessarily and fail, you're not necessarily going to be stopped. It's just going to take longer than you planned. Also, you may wish to check out some test options that we haven't used yet, which is something that Ulfkill will never admit to doing, likely. But you can work in different ways when you make a test. For instance, Flint will probably love this, which is working quickly. If you declare that you're working quickly, then any successes you get over an obstacle, you get to a lot to reduce the overall time it takes to perform the test. So, like, for every success over the obstacle, you get to knock 10% off the time. So if you get, like, a wondrous 5 extra successes, you do it in half the time, stuff like that. Which you can then, if you want to, combine with working carefully, while adding 50% to the time frame gives you an advantage die, which is handy. I think those are the most germane to the present situation. Yes, someone had a question.
Well, I do, if nobody else did. That seems totally unfair, 50% penalty versus 10% bonus.
Well,
I'm speaking facetiously.
Welcome to the world.
Well, you can combine them. You can take the, 50% extra hit if you absolutely need that extra die to work carefully, but then try to work carefully quickly. So extra successes over that you get, which you may get with your extra die.
But you're not going to get with that extra die, get five successes.
No, but you might, you might maybe weasel out some helping dice and forks and all that. So
sure. So if I get 10 successes, I instantly do it?
No. successes. I guess, it's monstrous success rate.
It's Zeno's paradox. You always half and half and half again and half again. So you'll never do it instantly. You just do it, you look at it and go, oh, that. Okay, this, now let's do it.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of him rolling a monstrous amount of successes and then just pointing to some crevice in the wall and poking it, and then the entire wall just comes tumbling down.
Or he walks around the wall. Oh, that wasn't so hard. Apparently the puzzle was to stop you.
There's a door right over here.
Or it could be a dwarf puzzle. Speak, friend, and enter.
It may prove to be something like that, yes.
Yeah.
That's Gandalf testing his dwarven doors wise with Frodo helping. All right, so we have the fabulous cast. In just in case we're done with belief writing and twiddling and so on.
You need to give the pony a name. I nominate Bill. It's tradition.
But Bill is like a name a Hobbit would give him.
Yeah, right? But so it's traditional.
Well, a dwarf might call him Bill too, except it's the axe Bill.
I imagine this is just a regular old pack pony.
Yes.
Yep. It's like a Shetland.
I'm still going to call it Bill, though.
Yeah.
That's fine.
It's the old Bill.
It's old Bill. You got the loner. It's the only one they have left after requiring the rest for packing up.
If we were lucky, we could got William instead.
I kind of do, but okay. I'm going to get you back for that.
You're going to get Ulfkel back for that.
But okay. The puzzle wall, Flint, Bruna, Fandral, Ulfkel, you have your tools all laid out. You have your lanterns and the pony sort of scratching nervously at the cavern floor. And of course, you dwarves see perfectly well in this half gloom. But for the viewer, imagine the scene with, the lanterns casting this lurid, underlit kind of glow in the tunnel, and your dwarfy shadows just creep over the walls like looming images. Yes.
Then of course, the scene's ruined by Ulfkel taking a deep draught from his mug, and then burping. Because one of those ponies got a keg on him.
If this were a Guy Ritchie movie, we would have like a black and white overlay, and it would be like a splash of like beer letters going Ulfkel.
There's your post game. Look for a beer font.
All right. Yes. The entire tunnel section, of course, is just carven, and there are dwarf faces and knotwork and symbols and seals and stuff.
Wow, some really nice runes here.
Is this a test for my ancient history?
Sure, that could work. What is our prince doing that he might want to test his history?
Have I read anything about these sort of carvings?
This isn't Jeopardy, so turn that around and sort of, I have read something of these carvings, and then you test your history.
Assume that you know what you're doing. Until you find out you don't.
Not necessarily. with like history and knowledge skills and wises, you can do this now. if you want to leave it open, you can say, I know something about this, and I'm going to, you know, I'm going to use my history to blurt it at you. Or you can say, this is what history tells us, and you can make something up. And if you succeed, you're right. And if you don't succeed, you may be part right or completely wrong, which is hilarious. Would anyone like to help?
Absolutely. I will gladly fork in clan history, because as he explains the ancient history, we can bring it forward with which clans were operating in this area.
Is it ancient history? For some reason, I had the idea that he had obscure history.
No.
No, you have ancient history. That is a... No, you just have history, it says.
So when you're forking in, you can can you fork in multiple skills?
If Fandral is making the test, he can fork in as many different skills that he can, you know, work in. If someone else is making a test, then they fork in. But you can help with a single skill, you know, the most pertinent.
Okay.
If you're not the tester, so to speak, the one being tested.
Well, I've got clan history at B4. I think that would be appropriate in this situation.
Absolutely. So you can toss a die over to Fandral for that. And maybe Ulfkill has something interesting to add.
Ooh.
Maybe a wise or...
shrewd appraisal.
That is the ability to point out every single flaw in an object and reduce the price.
Oh, sorry. All right.
So for the purpose of reducing the price.
Well, in that case, the only thing I could probably add, observation.
Let's see. That is for finding hidden things like lurking goblin or something like that. I'm trying to find something here that might work. You could be cheeky. If you work in something in the narration toward the end, you could use something like maybe beer-wise or grain-wise and say that there's a connection.
It has to be a wise, though, right?
It could be a wise. It could be you don't have a history skill, right?
Carving.
It could be any other type of, like, knowledge.
Carving? It's a skill.
You know, it's technically wood, but close enough.
Basically, the difference between carving stone and carving wood is that with carving stone, you have to use a hammer to get the chisel through it. You know, a lot of the same techniques are used for.
I'm totally cool with it.
Yeah, for outlining which
the final product is the subject matter here. So yeah.
Yeah. So all forking carving. So you see him over there busy looking at it. You know, you see a finger go out and touch something, and then into the mouth. Mm. Yeah.
Making up use of your taster trait. Yes. If you do that, actually, Ulfkill, why don't you actually test perception for me? At an obstacle of, say, 2.
Anything else I can fork in? So
perception is a stat, so...
It's a 6, yeah. I got 6 dice there, but still... Ooh! 3 sixes!
Ooh, nice!
Was that spend a fate? Persona?
If you want to spend a fate to explode them, you can.
I will. I'll spend I got 8 fate, so yeah, just blow them up.
So remember to mark that down next to your perception.
I got 5 successes.
That's still an awful lot of successes. So in the interest of giving information, you taste, you know, a grime that you wouldn't expect from stone. You taste something like what you think is dwarfy sweat. And you taste something else, almost like there's a thin patina of something on the rock that is kind of like...
cacked poison.
No, it's like nog. It's kind of like nog. It has that kind of flavor, that kind of... texture. Sorry?
It's going to be licking the rest of this.
You see Ulfkill pull a finger up. You're like, oh, wait a second. He looks around. I think this is safe. Definitely Nog. There's Nog around here someplace.
Flint just kind of looks at everyone, that look of disbelief, and says, Do you taste nog everywhere?
Well, it's
he just had a beer too, so it's like, is it the beer? Can we trust him?
Now, can I tell the age from that? I mean, I got 5 successes. Can I get an age off of that?
It's hard to place, but it's not like any nog you've ever tasted. It's definitely nog, but it has like a strange, almost bubbly quality to it.
Mm. It's odd. It's just odd nog.
Well, we now have a name for it.
It's all bubbly.
While he is teasing the wall, I'm going to help Fandral with his history and runes.
The keg, right. The keg must have exploded or something to cover this thing so evenly.
at least where you're poking it.
Yeah.
Back to the history test. So we get a helping die for carving from Ulfkel and a helping die by clan history from Todd. And it's an ancient history test then for Fandral with 2 extra dice. Would you like to work in any particular fashion, like carefully or quickly, or do you not care?
Oh, it's got to be quickly, because that's what we're doing here.
All right.
Is there any particular obstacle, or is it just more?
Like I said, I'm not altogether here. The obstacle should be checking out. It's an obstacle 3.
All right, then. So I got 5 dice. Yeah, only 2 successes.
Hmm. All right.
I sort of put them off in my tasting, I guess.
Okay, so since you didn't put forth any theories right away before the test, then I'm going to assume that you wanted me to offer up leads or something like that. The intent was really to get it, to figure the wall out, right?
Yes.
This is something we should have said beforehand. So I'm going to draw you in to a communal sort of tail spinning for how these walls were made and why. And I'm going to say...
I was going to say, Ulfkel's looking at, well, you remember doing my apprenticeship as a carver. This was a style they were using about 500 years ago, I believe. For ornamental work. You'll see a lot of it on some wood carving as well.
And remember that you failed, so this isn't necessarily true.
That's right.
Well, the obvious problem with our history here is it's randomized. It's not in chronological order. It's almost like they deliberately scrambled the story that's presented.
I thought I heard Dirk say something.
No, I was just going to say, describe exactly what we're seeing here again, because I'm...
You are in a section of the a natural tunnel that has been carefully carved on both the flagged floor and the sides of the tunnel and the roof. And there are dwarven faces, and there's knotwork, and there are rune inscriptions. There are like various types of dwarfy symbolism in suggestion of gem shapes and so on and so forth. It's like a big, huge swath of dwarf carved into the tunnel for some puzzle purpose.
I thought there also was a wall closing off the end of the tunnel as well. Am I correct?
No. It's just that last time Flint was here, this is where the trail ended.
So all the walls are covered in carvings.
Yes. Also, I'm gonna offer a little element as well to this. Okay, so the carvings are presumably a style that's half a millennia old. I'm gonna say that you remember that the mechanisms to figuring these walls out was something that was kept by the builder clans. And it was something obvious enough that a dwarf of that specific clan could make use of them without any hindrance.
It'd be nice if we actually had one of those dwarfs with us too, wouldn't it?
Which is where you might say something like, hey, this is so-and-so's clan face.
Sure, that'll work. Wouldn't it be convenient if Bruno was a builder clan?
Sure, why not? All right, let's work it in that way.
Not that I can remember her last name.
I don't think I've given them last names. It was Colby the Old, and then his son Skarn, the Lesser, and then Bruna, Raven Wife, which is, you know, her own epithet. It makes it up.
This symbol over here, isn't that the symbol for the raven? I think this might be originally done by Raven Clan builders. Look over here. You can see where they have the symbol of the pick, and then it forms another leg up here where it's the symbol of the shovel. We're going to try to.
Are you sure that's a shovel, not a spade?
Spade is a spade. Is a spade. Yes.
But we'll make our clan history roll. We'll look over to Bruna. Says, does that jive? I know that's not a dwarven term. But
can you ken it, lass? Can you ken it?
Are you savvy? Yeah, well, okay, so she sort of ducks in and squints at, you know, the symbol and starts to sort of move her fingers and nose close to the wall, and she follows the outline of the symbol and starts to sort of mumble little to herself and goes, hmm.
If you taste it right here, it tastes like a nog.
She gives you a nose. Her face is right next to, like, a phallic suggestion of a pick or something like that. So, particularly...
Of course, completely,
oblivious, yes.
Yeah, gormless.
Just stone.
No, that's just as bad. It's just stone.
She looks it over close to the wall, and then she turns around and sort of gives Fandral a sort of sly look and goes, well, of course, this could very well be... the old Raven Clan's markings, and I think that the picks were particularly important to that symbology, and I think if we press the picks in the right order, we should be able to open this without any problems.
Before we go start poking picks, what happens if we don't push them in the right order?
Well, nothing, I would assume, since...
He's looking at the various symbols of crossbows in various locations.
And the one little carving down in the corner where a dwarf is desperately trying to get his collar to untighten. His tongue is out and he's all, you know, strangly.
And then there's one where you see a dwarf head and a dwarf body not necessarily connected to each other.
Wow, you guys have a gruesome imagination. Okay. So anyway, I'd like to throw down that clan history, maybe toss in rune script as an additional skill.
This is all stuff that's been baked into the test you just made. So, yes. You actually do figure it out, but since you failed...
It's wrong.
Or part right.
No, of course we don't know what the sequence is. That's the other trick. Now we got to figure out what the sequence should be. Is the next bit really?
Well, what she does is she just starts to press.
I'm the impulsive one. No.
You already tasted the wall. That's pretty impulsive right there.
We need to get past this. So starts to press the pick sigils, and suddenly they just vanish into the wall, and you hear a series of clicks and portentous rumble throughout the tunnel, and whoosh, the floor just starts to tilt. It just tilts right under your feet, and you just...
Stare at each other for a second as we're suspended in midair and then fall.
Trying to find hard scrabble and grab a hold so the nut slide down into the rotating wheels of death.
Well, fortunately, we have a large carved wall that has lots of finger holds in it.
The way the floor was described, too, the floor is that way, too.
How about you give me, a speed test of three to actually stay away from the big section of the flooring that just tilts down into oblivion?
Well, probably a good call.
What are the consequences if we fail? Is it
then you slide down into the darkness?
All right,
and well, further adventures.
So I'm just gonna roll. I'm just gonna roll my four dice. Only two success. Oh, I got a six. There's another fate point being spent.
Come on.
Yes. Aha. I got 3 6X's successes. I find purchase.
So how does Ulfkell manage to not be deposited into the tilted darkness?
Well, as it's sliding down, he sees one of the carvings has a little protuberance. And
he's hanging onto the phallic carving.
And it does mean losing the rest of his beer, but he's hanging, he's got his mug shoved over it, and he's hanging from the handle.
Nice. Cool. So the rest of course
it does mean everything in south of him is now covered in beer and much more slicker now.
But more flavorful. I guess we'll roll and see what our usual small luck offers.
What was your speed, by the by, John?
4.
So that is a difficult test. Green is flint?
Yeah. Whee! I say, so was there a floor here?
And I also, like I said, I'm just standing there for a second, then,
whoa. Can we get a roll for Bruna? And I'm going to say that Bill, since he wasn't reading the glyphs, is probably a little bit further back.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So you're not going to be crushed by the poor pony.
Yeah, and we're not going to lose our beer either in the keg. So.
All right. So, well, okay, Ulfkell, you're dangling there above the...
Like a 45-degree angle?
Yeah. While the rest of you dwarves, including Bruna, just slide into the darkness with a whoop, and, your lanterns go tumbling down after you and are extinguished. There's a great crashing of broken glass.
Burning oil.
Well... If it amuses you, we could make it so that there's a great big burning trail going down as well.
Oh, it's certainly for a snake.
Yeah.
Yes, it would be. Yeah,
you'll
awesome.
You'll have light for a little bit. I don't have climbing, do I?
Well, you've been trying to climb, I think.
I'd just be a straight agility then, wouldn't it, try to get out of this mess? So I'll yell down, I'll see if I can get some rope! Dang tight. How far down am I on this ramp?
I'm going to say that your midsection and legs are all dangling, and the rest of you is more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Or rather, your breast, your sort of nipple above the break in the floor, right?
Oh, so
hanging on to.
It'd be an easy test. I need to pull myself up.
Probably. I'm just going to see what climbing is based on. So, and that is speed, which in Burning Wheel isn't necessarily speed, but big body movements.
4 dice, ba-doom. Nah, I got 2 6's. That's probably enough to get me out, right?
Oh, I should have said it's an ob 3. So spend your feet.
Is that an ob 6 then with the?
Oh, no, it'd be doubled.
Right.
So, oh, right. That's true. So
I am going to spend that fate.
Thank you, Derek.
Hey, I'm lonely down here.
I go, okay, dangle. I just got to boom my hand this way, lift my mug up. Oh, bugger!
Everybody step back. Watch for falling off kill.
I'd say that you're dragging yourself up by the tankard as it is slowly cracking from the rim. So you're just like, no!
Oh, it was forged. It was forged. I'm holding a handle. Bloody hell.
So you tumble down into the darkness with the rest of the dwarves. And okay, for all of you, you slide down the chute and a few of you leave this little trail of burning lactin oil in your wake.
So,
and then you crash into a bunch of hard, light, crunchy stuff, which sounds like bits of mail, bone, bits of rock. It's not terribly comfy, but it's not cushiony either. And no one is skewered on any ribs or anything.
You hear me say, that probably wasn't the right sequence.
So you end up there in the dark, essentially, with stuff in what you perceive to be some kind of oubliette, right? It's some kind of hole in the ground, and you can see up above you a kind of grill, a narrow grill that you might squeeze out of if you were a slim dwarf.
Oh, I'm not going into that.
It just so happens we have a slim dwarf with us.
Oh, yeah? Who?
I would assume Brune is at least slimmer than we are.
I always pictured Flint as the slim one.
Probably. Yeah, it's just I don't sit around and deliberate or imbibe.
Well, I mean, Fandral has dwarven mail. Flint has mail.
Well, yeah.
The most lightly armored. At least. Anyway, you can probably get someone through if you work at it.
We form a dwarven pyramid.
One dwarf at the base.
See, unfortunately, I am a dwarf, and I'm curious as to who we landed on, or the remains of who we landed on.
Sure, okay. You need light of some kind in that case. You have your broken lanterns down there.
We'll fumble around and see if we can make a whole lantern from a broken lantern and find something to spark up.
I pull up a large bone. It got some cloth. We dip it into the oil and we'll make a torch out of it.
Cool.
We could give that certainly a try.
So who wants to open up fire building?
Is it actually a skill?
Yes.
Well, considering that I have black metal artificer, I should at least know how to make fire.
Well, I mean, you've seen it done.
Yeah.
You can do it. You're not necessarily really good at it. And like I said before, if you fail a test here, it's more likely to take time, like this distraction, and prevent you from getting all the way into the, you know.
What's it based on?
Fire building is based on perception. Ooh, I have perception of D6.
Well, that gives you a pretty good chance, and you have plenty of materials around. And
it's a super simple test. Plus, I think you had a good idea, so I'm going to give you a bonus die.
All right, so I need some steel. Oh, I hold the handle of my mug. I got some steel, and he's like Flint. I go to the rock wall and see if I make sparks.
So you're not going over to Flint and hitting it over the head?
No! So that gives me 7 dice.
Guys, since you're all learning this, if you want to, you can help him with your perception.
All right.
Sure.
So that gives me 2 more dice. So it gives me 9 dice.
3 blind dice.
Yes, then you all get to record firebuilding and one test toward learning it.
Ooh. And, wow. Do we get, out of nine dice, I get 3 successes. But that's enough, right?
Yes, you only need 2. You only need 2, and that is after doubling.
We got a sputtering, burning torch, and hopefully the bone will start burning, and then we'll want to worry about the oil after that. All right, so we got there a sputtering torch and holding over to the massive bones. What do we see in the flickering light?
Well, okay, you see an assortment of dwarf and goblin bones. There's bits of old mail, a vent shield, a helmet. There are a few, like... very, very bony, like old, ancient dust-type bones. And in a corner, you see a fresh corpse, more or less. Looks to have the distinctive dirtiness of one of Rohar's... No, Bardi's band.
Well, yeah, we'll go over and... who's got dead body-wise? We can figure out. I can CSI this.
Bad end-wise.
I got field dressing.
I'm sorry, what was that, Todd?
I got field dressing. I can determine, we can't save him.
All right. Well, you can see that he's dead. He's tumbled down here and cracked his head on the wall. There doesn't appear to be any other distinctive bits on him. He has, his little shoddy short sword and his burnt out torch that's burnt down even to his fingers, which are all charred.
Oh, okay. Has his body been looted?
No. He seems to be the only one who's tumbled down here.
Well, the bright side, Barty didn't get it right the first time either. I don't feel as dumb.
Well, or maybe, poor bastard fell down and broke his head, but the rest of him landed like we did, and maybe looking up at the grill overhead got their way out.
Well, yeah, let's start going through stuff, see if we can put together like a rope or something. If there's a grill, we can try to throw something up there to grapple But.
You have adventuring gear, all of you, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
You have rope.
Okay, you said the grill. So basically the holes between the bars are such that a slim dwarf can get through.
If you lift the grill...
If you lift
the grill. If it is a grill that can be lifted, presumably, then a slim dwarf could get through. Yes.
Well, I got a hammer. I got carpentry tools, which are about useless for carving stone.
Here, got some spikes here. We can hammer those into the wall and use that to climb up to the grill.
I pull my hammer out and start driving spikes into the wall.
I'm going to say that that's a bonus die, definitely. And Ulfkel, you already tested climbing and got 2 successes, right?
Yep.
Yes, so that's all you need. So you don't have to test again. But the other 2 dwarves.
Well, if I happen to be the slimmest of the bunch, I guess that means I'm going to have to leave my dwarven-made heavy mail behind.
No, you just put a piece of rope through it and pull it after yourself.
It sounds like you've done
this. Just to get through? Yeah, you would probably have to slim it down a
bit. Yeah, shuck it off, and then you don't have to leave it behind. We just throw it up there after.
Okie dokie. Up and at 'em.
let's say, well, you all don't have climbing, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Correct. Okay.
No.
In that case, it's a speed test, and in that case, Bruna can help both of you.
Yay!
Or rather, you can both help Flint to get up, and then we'll call that test. It's an obstacle 2 after doubling, so this is a test that counts toward opening the skill. Flint, you get a helping die from Fandral and a helping die from Bruna.
Brings us
and up. You have a bonus die for the clever idea of putting spikes in the wall.
That gets us up to 7. And I need 4 successes?
2.
It's an easy climb, so it's basically it's a 1 obstacle?
Yes. Mm. Especially with spikes.
Okay, we definitely eke that out. If I throw a fate at it, that goes towards climbing?
Oh, yes. And I can be very nice and say that you retroactively call that a quick test. So you can count extra successes toward doing it a little faster.
Yes, we do. We scramble up like we meant to do that.
All right, so that's a quarter quicker than you thought you would, take climbing all the way up. So you're up like a monkey, and indeed it is a grill that you can lift, but I'm going to require you to make a power test versus 3.
Okay. Can I do things like use my lovely pointy axe to act as a lever?
Oh, and sure. Yes.
We're solidly in 50-50 possible here. Okay. I guess we'll give it a go. I'm not a big fan of 50-50, but because my dice hate me.
Just 2 successes.
Oh, interesting. Okay, so... You start to lever the heavy grill up, and it's kind of rusted, almost rusted stuck. It's as if it's stuck in with some kind of adhesive or something. Which, when you've levered it up enough, you realize it's blood.
Ooh. Hey.
Fresh blood?
No, I wouldn't say fresh blood, but an awful lot of it.
So. The blood flowed through the grill down into the hole?
It flooded from someone into the cracks, right, in between the grills and the stone and, into the hole. Yeah.
Is it goblin or dwarf blood? Give it a taste, lad.
I'm not glad that. I need to wash this blood away so I can try again. Throw up your flasks.
All right.
Ooh. Mine doesn't got water in it.
It's wet.
Ah, toss. Just don't get a match. Just don't get a flame next to it.
We'll sit there and lubricate the grill and try again.
All right, you do get it up. I mean, you do.
Everyone's good to know.
You do get it open. There we go.
Yay!
Get it out of the floor. Great. And you sort of... Force your slim, swelt figure out of the door. And up into a kind of vestibule, which is similarly carved as a tunnel beyond the wall, which you still haven't figured out how to open.
At this point, we can probably make more torches fairly easily, because we got one torch going already, so...
Yes.
Yeah, I had another torch up to you. Well, that's going to be interesting. The shaft, is it such that I can hand him up to a torch so he can grab it safely, or do I have to sort of like toss it up?
You have to either climb up, which you can do without any problems with a torch.
But I can't fit through the I can't fit through the opening, but I can at least hand it up to where he can grab it.
I mean, you can force.
I am not the sveltest of dwarfs.
Well, you know, you can suck your gut in with a little help from your friends.
All right.
Watch where you're putting your hands on my...
Wait. Let me and Bruna go first. Just in case.
But at least I'll hand off torch up first so Flint has some light up there.
Yeah. No worries. It's somewhat a tight fit to get through the aperture, but once you're halfway through, it's a...
We get re-equipped and ready to roll again?
Aha! Finally. Yeah. Slightly delayed.
Maybe throw down some tunnel-wise just to keep us from getting lost unless there's no options.
Well, first off, I'm looking at all the blood. Where is the blood coming from now that we're up here?
Excellent. In a corner right next to what you presume is the opening the wall portal, right, there is another dwarf corpse whose face is completely ruined by a big planted axe.
Oh, the axe is still there?
Yes.
What condition is it in?
Appears to be a goblin...
Oh, forget that.
A goblin dung-stained dwarven axe.
Hmm. Oh.
Okay. From this ruin of a face, can we determine if it's...
It's a dwarf. I'm sorry, it's a dwarf, yes.
So it's one of Bardi's crew?
Yes, another one of Bardi's crew.
But the axe, did it look like it was a trap or like... The party betrayed someone?
It looks like they were standing over the grill, him and someone else, presumably, and someone then cracked him over the head, and he staggered back and fell sort of prostrate.
And then someone nailed his face with the axe.
Why in the hell would they do that?
Hmm.
No honor amongst thieves.
Yeah, maybe greed got the better of him.
Cue evil GM laughter.
So there is an axe there, though, right?
Yes. Oh, yes. You can take it if you want to.
Yep. Put it there and prize it out. It needs to be cleaned first.
Yeah, Bruno's not looking very impressed.
at least you didn't taste it.
Oh, no. I can tell. I can see goblin spore from a mile away.
Okay, well, I guess I will act as a scout, take point.
All right, so this is an ordinary dwarven axe then, right?
Yes, it's one of those plus one die.
Yeah, I'll get the stuff out of the book for that.
So, okay, you are in this vestibule which leads into what appears to be a tiny disused, maybe storage room, but it has a few crates that are really just remnants of crates, and there are lots of, you know, dust. And prints in the dust. This room leads onto a door that's sort of slightly ajar. Beyond, you can see that there's some kind of light.
Mm. Well, I'm not ready to douse our torch, but I am exceptionally paranoid, so...
And sneaky. We'll hold the torches here, and you use your stealth to see where the light's coming from.
Skulk about.
Be a ninja.
Probably is a good idea.
I will go with Flint, Prince, says Bruna.
If I'm correctly.
I have just the right weapon, just in case of an ambush, and she pats her arbalest.
Excellent.
Well, first we'll have to make sure that the door doesn't give us away. So we'll open that slowly and carefully, cautiously, if that needs to be a roll. If not, then we'll...
Do you take precautions? That's really the question in that case. Mm-hmm. I mean, do you take your time to really do it carefully and silently?
Absolutely. Because if I were a guard or something at this place, I would want damn squeaky doors.
Well, it does whine a little bit, but you don't have to open it much to see that the next room is a long, long hall with a central stone table that seems to be almost a single length of a stone slab, which is sunken into a sort of depression in the middle of the room. And the walls are all these peculiar, like, slotted repositories with handles in them. And, of course, all the way in across the darkness, or rather the gloom, semi-gloom, there's a dim portion. But you can't see what it is, because in the center of this room there is a shaft of light, of natural light, pale natural light, sort of illumining the dancing specks of dust.
Oh. Well, I guess the first thing to look for is dead dwarven bodies.
I should have mentioned that. I keep forgetting. I keep forgetting I killed most of them off.
So it's just dwarven bodies, or there's a mix, or is there a mix?
Okay, you see a few dark shapes with the attendant dark stains under them, both seated and sort of sprawled about the room. It appears to account for half of Bardi's adventuring dwarves. And they seem, yes, they seem, well, they weren't that many to begin with. They were maybe 20 at most. And, yeah, they're killed.
Well, one should ask, are they like filled full of arrows, or does it look like they were all heinously impaled or smashed, or
give me an obstacle 2 perception test. I'll give you a bonus die from Bruna, since she's there to whisper tactical fates.
Well, hey, we got 4 successes, and I'm going to throw a fate point at that, because I want to get as many successes as possible. Well, not that that helped. So that. and you said Bruna gave me one. So let's throw in one for Bruna. Bruna added a 4. So we got a total of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes on that.
Cool. I should have asked beforehand. Is this something you want to do quickly? No? Okay.
No, this was definitely, I'd rather have details.
All right. It's fairly clear, the more you peek at different bodies, that there seems to have broken out of a disagreement among themselves, and they killed each other. You can definitely see that one of the dwarves is pierced through with a dwarven arbalest shaft.
Okay, this just doesn't make sense. Runa, do you see any reason why these dwarves would have turned on each other?
Could be some presence, or maybe there's some elvish sorcery about.
Huh.
I heard they have songs that make you go mad.
Mad.
So, what would you think would happen if one dwarf went through and there was no one to fight? Would they be able to carry on?
I have no idea, Flint. Okay. Did you say you want to go alone?
I'm concerned that, you know, if there's some kind of magic involved, that if there's two or more, they'll fight each other. But if there's just one, perhaps the conditions of the spell won't affect them.
That's a theory.
And I don't see anything like mountains of gold or anything that would cause a greedy war to start. So you stay here, and I'm going to creep along the right-hand side here, and see if I can make it past.
All right, I'll keep you covered with a crossbow. Arbalest.
I will grimly smile, because if the magic affects her, I'm a porcupine. Or pit cushion. Got you covered, sighted right on your back. Side.
All right, so you slip into the half-light.
I was just going to stay away from the sunken area.
Okay. Maybe stay away from the central
maybe
table.
Maybe it's some heavy greed gas down there or something.
All right. Meanwhile, staying with the torch, John and Dirk, observation tests, please, at 2. Obstacle 2. If you don't have observation, then it's a perception test at 4.
All right, I got observation at, B3. Oh, this is going to be interesting. Nothing in 4 again. Oh, Three successes.
I got three successes.
Okay, and Dirk, you used perception, I presume?
Yes, I don't have observation.
Okay. So that would count toward opening it, though.
Well, I hadn't.
Yet, since before doubling it would be...
Routine?
Yes, ooh. Routine, yes.
And it'd be a routine for me as well, then, right?
Three dice, two, yes.
So what do we see?
Fandral is a little oblivious and I presume holding on for the report, as you do when you're the prince. Meanwhile, Ulfkell, first of all, you smell a familiar sort of vaguely honeyed aroma that you sort of... It's kind of the same thing as you tasted outside on the wall, but you feel like it's kind of hovering about, like it's the scent of someone or something passing. Also, you seem to hear some faint knocking in the walls.
Ooh. Sir, do you hear that?
What, you? Yeah, I hear you.
No. I put my ear against the wall. Does the knocking much more player then?
It stops.
It stops.
And then it starts knocking at the other side of the room.
Hold my torch in that direction. Do I see... trouble is, with torchlight, it's going to be hard to tell the difference between the shadows and an actual aperture.
Of course, you're a dwarf, so you can see very well.
Okay. Any holes in the wall? Like someone can see me?
None.
I hold up my brand new axe in my hand. I've been cleaning it while we've been waiting, and so I'm going to walk over to the wall and then put my ear against it again.
The knocking stops.
You're not hearing that, are you, sir? The knocking.
I think the brew has finally gone insane.
4, 6, 3. And I just casually rest my hand on the axe in my belt.
And you don't smell that either, sir. It's just like a honey. Like a spring nog.
Ooh, nice wording.
Something's afoot.
Yes. Speaking of which, back to the I'm not going to say poor sap. the point man. Okay, so you're sneaking across the great hall, right? I want you to make an observation test as well at obstacle 2. If you don't have observation, it's perception at obstacle 4.
Perception at obstacle 4. Oh, joy. Well, it's theoretically possible.
Oh, yes. And you have a bit of Arta and Fate if you roll sixes.
Not with four traitors.
Oi.
So, what role did I fail there? With a challenging routine?
It was a routine test toward opening observation. So if you have it already on your sheet as something or other, then you add another routine test.
Okay, I'm up to 3 routine on that.
You need 3 more. All right, so you move across the room, and you think you hear something like a sting from Bruna, but then there's this other kind of whispery thing further ahead that almost sounds like help, help.
Well, I am the kind and responsible dwarf, so I'll certainly move forward to help someone.
I like that. Okay. Further ahead, you see this past the dancing specks light when the bodies have sort of slowly thinned. You see this very enticing, like, black iron door that is just covered in etchings and runic inscriptions and looks like, that package that you really shouldn't open, but no one can help themselves.
Okay.
And it seems to be coming from behind the door. And it sounds, the near you come, it sounds like it's someone growing weaker the closer you get.
Well,
as if they're, sort of slipping into semi-consciousness.
Does the door have an obvious mechanism to open it, such as a pull ring?
No, it is an infuriating black iron double door with, like I said, a bunch of carvings and etchings and engravings.
I actually know some runic script. I'll see if I can quickly figure out how I'm supposed to open this door.
Emergency exit. Please pull spring to...
yes.
All right. I'll call that an obstacle 3 rune script test.
Wow. Okay. This is some pretty gnarly script. Can I fork in, like, clan history or something? Because my rune script is a B2.
In this case, yes. Yes.
Okay. So that can get us up to a 3 at least. So odds of succeeding, not so hot. But, you know, we'll see what we can do. And we got 2, and we're going to burn a fate. Come on. We can do this. No, of course not. The dice hate me. So trying to get 3 successes on 3 dice, what kind of runic script?
You have a 6, so you could explode that.
I did, and I got a 2.
All right, 3 dice. Ah.
It's right. Runic script, yes.
Remember to record the arta you've spent.
What kind of test is that I failed?
Difficult rune script test.
Okay, one never knows when I'll come in handy.
Yeah, so you begin to squint at these sort of archaic, highly hoity-toity, superlative clan runes, and...
Just hold on!
what you can make out is nothing specific other than it seems to be someone's tomb.
Oh! Mm.
Back in the tunnel, Bruna's sting at Fandral and Ulfkel. And waving at you.
Come on, Ulfkel. Flint got into trouble. Let's go.
Oh, okay. I'm backing out of there, going and looking back and forth. So it's not right down here.
Okay, Bruno, like, something's not right in the other room as well. You can see the dwarf corpses and Flint passed the shaft of light into the dimness beyond right a minute ago, and there's been no sound from him since.
So we can't see Flint?
No.
No, he's torchless.
There's this annoying shaft of pale natural light that's sort of spearing crosswise down from some kind of natural aperture across the room. So there's this sort of curtain of dancing dust, which tends to obscure anything that's behind it.
Well, that close to the surface?
We can get out of here, maybe.
That's a tight fit. Your lordship.
Tightening his belt. Oh, hoisting his belt. There we go.
I'm sure we can pull you through it.
Eat more butter.
Dwarven butter. You also use the lubricant for machinery.
Well, I suggest we head after him. Or one by one, or two by one, or
big in a big old group, sir.
Yes, let's go.
Safety in numbers.
Yes, let's go.
Okay.
I'll take up the rear. I am the least combat-oriented person in the group.
And you are aware that something fishy is going on behind you, so well.
Yes, yeah. That's the other thing. I'll probably be walking backwards or at least sideways.
Of course, the scent seems to be getting stronger the deeper you go.
I'm being paranoid right now.
Welcome to the club.
Okay, so you pass the annoying shaft, and you can see that it is fairly close to the surface. You can see the pale gray sky above, but it would be somewhat of a climb to actually get up there. And passing this sheet or curtain of light and dancing dust specks, you can see that Flint is standing before this strange iron door and sort of tracing runes with his forefinger.
Oh, bloody hell. Lad, get your fingers off of that.
I've almost got it. Hold on.
Vandral.
Yeah.
You see he's all right, more or less. So you're sort of eyes wander to the sides of the wall where these strange sort of repositories with handles are. And something in the back of your mind just starts to itch and tingle. Like, it reminds you of an old archiving system that you saw as, like, an old Ardent or whatever they call the page boys in Dwarven society back in Scoria.
Mm.
There may be some interesting stuff there.
Okay. Is it like you pull the handle and like a drawer comes out or something?
You pull the handle and you pull out a long stone tablet, for lack of a better term.
So the drawer is a tablet.
That is the term. That is the proper term.
Okay. So I'll go pull one out.
Cool. Awesome. Okay. So you pull one out you see lengths of runic script in this really, not festive.
Party!
It's the clown runes. No. In this sort of highly stylized, ceremonial sort of script that you only really get with high royalty and so forth.
I write like that.
Yes, of course. Of course you do. And just to show that you're slightly better than everyone else. Mm-hmm. And down in one corner there is this old clan seal.
Well, I'm going to try to quickly skim through this.
Ooh, interesting. Okay, well, that would be an obstacle free rune script, yes.
It was hard to read.
It was hard to write.
Can I fork in my ancient history to help me?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
You could even fork in etiquette, since it's, a hoity-toity language.
Was it three?
I see three fours, yes.
Whew.
Cool. Okay. This is going to be interesting. You sort of pore over the first tablet and quickly realize that it is a lineage chart. And you see that it mentions the Gotterdam name, and it points to another couple of stone tablets you may wish to pull from their recesses.
So-and-so beget, so-and-so beget, so-and-so beget, so-and-so.
Yes. Interesting suggestions, shall we say, royal lineage.
For a certain dwarf.
Yes. And do you want to pull out more?
What time is it?
Checking your wrist.
Well, okay, you're not making super great time, but it does appear that this isn't the biggest, vault ever. You seem to have pierced into the main bit, and then there's something obviously behind the I am a tomb and don't open me door.
I'll go look at this tomb that has Flint so fascinated. Can I tell it? This is the tomb of old Aethelfrith or something.
You know what? There's a kind of a wealth power tingle, right? It's awfully tempting. Are you sure you want to do that? Okay, the implication in the lineage chart for now would maybe indicate that Flint has the right legally. Or at least his granddaddy has the right legally to maybe acquire certain parts of your holdings.
Ooh.
My birthright. And this wouldn't have been necessarily, unearthed if you hadn't gone in here.
Well, as I was saying, I think it's about time for us to get out of here.
Flint will talk to the door and say, "Well, how the hell did you open it?"
I think when you get out here, both of you are going a little stir crazy here.
Oh, I so agree with you, sir. There's something not right.
Well, hopefully a voice comes back from the other side of the door. Push the damn button.
Well, the voice has ceased to call out. It is now silent. There doesn't appear to be an obvious way to open the door. There's nothing that you can see in the script that says, "This is the way to open me."
No dwarven riddles.
Not that you can see.
Sir, I heard someone calling for help from the other side of the door, and I'm trying to figure out how to get through it.
He wasn't knocking, was he?
No. What?
You're asking
Flint, yes.
Yeah, I'm sniffing in that direction. Does it smell more honey air from the door?
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Ooh, somewhere in the back of his mind is a little voice screaming, "Get the hell out of here." Get down
by the by. By the by there, Fandral, since you got three successes on your rune script, when you go over to the door, you can see that it clearly says in the same type of language, final resting place of Brurod Ilhelm, actually Fairhelm, son of Skorik Gotterdam. Skorik was a great, big, huge, like, power player in old Skoria.
And they bury him.
Already, you know, here lies.
Are you?
And they bury him this far away from Skoria. You know, they bury him like a couple hundred miles from Skoria. That should be a hint.
It's not actually that far from Marl, though. So
yeah,
close to settlement.
Perhaps we should let the dead lay undisturbed.
I'm shutting up. Go ahead.
I just heard. You see, now here's where Flynn's clueless. Is when he's when the prince refers to the dead, he thinks he's referring to the guy that he heard.
Right.
So it's like, I just heard him talking just a minute ago. If we can get this door open, we might be able to save him.
Lad, that door has not been open for ages.
I think this place is playing with our senses. I think we need to get out of here.
Aye.
But shouldn't we find the rest of the adventurers, says Bruno?
Yes. They must have gone through the door. Is there any other exit?
Aye. Straight up. I'm grabbing him by the collar, and I'm heading toward the shaft of light.
They obviously didn't go up that way.
I'm grabbing him by the collar and heading for the light.
Are you resisting, poor James?
I'll go to the light and look. He said, we can't fly. It's and it's too narrow. So we obviously have to get to the door. That's the only way that we're going to make progress.
There are chairs. The coffin with the dead man.
I look at the chairs and I start dumping bodies out of the chairs and start arranging them and start building little pyramids so we can get up there.
Well, we have rope and grapple.
Aye, but you know, I want to get out here quicker than that. Something's not right, sir. I also want to get to a point where I can drive the first one anyway without hanging from a rope. How far up is it? I mean, is it a grapple throw, or is it more like a climb than a grapple throw?
I suppose you could use the handles in the various stone tablets while they're still lodged in the wall to help you up. But you still sort of have to traverse this inward arch to get to the crack. So, it's a little spikes. Both.
More spikes, yeah.
The pyramid of chairs has its place. It goes directly up.
There are no chairs.
I thought there was chairs.
Yeah, I thought there were stone chairs. Okay, never mind.
Oh, there are stone benches, right, that are sort of launched to the floor.
carved into the floor. Okay, that would make it more difficult to use.
Yeah, we climb up the handles, or at least pour drawers out and start using them as footholds and climbing up. I'm starting driving pitons. You know, we get there. We're getting out of here. Maybe our sense is tingling.
but says Bruno, we can't just go straight up. We don't know where that leads.
Out.
We may never get back to the expedition. Shouldn't we go out through the main entrance or something?
You know what? I bet we go back.
We found a main entrance. I mean, that's so far.
You know,
through the door.
Yeah, down to an oubliette, which is probably now closed. Because it was closed when we got there.
Shouldn't we figure out the door then?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
not that door, Flint. I mean the big wall door.
Climb, climb, climb. Hammer, 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 hammer.
I can see him going slowly up with the rope around his midsection.
We'll have two of us start working to get a rope up to the crack to get out of here, and two others can go look at the main door and see if we can open it.
Split the group again, sir? That's not safe. We gotta get back. I knew there was an entrance nearby, so it was probably only like about a couple hours walk to get back to where we were camped.
I've got the map, so we can find our way.
Hammer, 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 hammer.
Interesting development. Okay.
Yes.
I'm all for it. Unless you have some... is everyone in concert on this?
Well, Flint would like to try that iron door one more time. Maybe if I get Bruna to look at it with me, she can pick up something.
Yeah, it's like a demonic curse or something like that.
But I'm saying go look at the this main door, see if we can get out of it that way.
Fine. Since you insist, sir.
Okay.
While you're doing that, lad, I'll be doing this up here. Hammer.
So who's fixing the roof escape and who's checking the outer door?
Well, obviously, Ufkel is busy. He's already up there in the ceiling right now, trying to go around that in that curve.
Good luck with that.
It's just a matter of putting in the right number of spikes so you can brace yourself and climb up.
Well, Bruna's light and lithe, so she'll help you there.
Okay.
Two of you will go down there. Go the skinny one and the princely one.
So while the prince and the disgruntled right hand dwarf head for the exit or the entry, whatever the egress. Let's see how well you do there, Ulfkel. You're getting a helping speed die from Bruna for putting everything in place.
All right.
It's an obstacle three, so that's you don't have the skill, right?
What, climbing?
Yes,
I do. I'm learning it.
Okay, so that is an obstacle six for you then, but you do have an extra helping die from Bruna.
So it puts me at
and I'm giving
five
you
dice.
I'm giving you a bonus die for the holds and all that.
So that puts me at six. This is time to spend persona.
It would be if you really want to be successful, yes.
Yeah. See, with her helping dice, that puts me at five. That extra dice gives me six. Yeah, it's a six. So I have five persona. I have zero persona. I'm spending all five persona. I want to get the hell out of here.
Really? Are you sure? It might be prudent to save at least one, just in case.
All right. Yeah, I'll keep one. So that's going to be 10 dice.
Okay. If you succeed, you create a simple way for the dwarves to exit and get up onto the surface. If you fail, something interesting happens.
I get wedged. I don't know.
would you like to work carefully? Put a little extra time into it?
No, I've been playing him as being nervous, so he's actually not being particular. He's trying to get the hell out of there. So that's one, two, three, four, five. I got two sixes, so I'm going to spend another fate and re-roll those two. Ah! And I got a five and a four. There we go. I got seven successes. I pop out into the surface.
So that is a difficult speed test again. Actually, you had two helping dice, right? So that makes it actually a routine test, and so it's another test for opening climbing.
And the fate goes against speed.
Yes. Bruna's sort of testing the holds, the rope. And, climbing up behind you. You come up into this really dangerously narrow ravine that luckily opens up toward the east to a sort of rocky, lightly snow-covered sort of dusting, right? Slope full of pines and spruce and such coniferous high-altitude-ish. Actually, let's say you're looking into this tiny little vale, then.
A little hidden valley.
Yes.
Held down the I come back. She's up there with me, so we're looking down there. Going,
yeah, she's just sort of heaving herself up beside you and going, whoa.
And then in one of those stage whispers, get back up here, we're in the service. Hello.
Yeah, the air is crisp. There are, you can see those strange kind of bird things flapping about, sort of dark, dusky, fairly goodly sized birds.
They're not chickens, right?
No, but they may lay eggs. Who knows?
Yeah. I know, because chickens
How
are the
did
thing.
They get talking about chickens?
Because it's the only bird he really is familiar with is chickens, the cave chickens.
The poor blind cave chicken.
But we're on the surface. But I doubt you guys can hear me. You know, yell down on the stage in a hoarse whisper. Get up here! Get up here!
Which All right. probably sounds a lot louder at the bottom because he's like got a natural trumpet.
Yes, echoing all over the big hall and into the little storeroom and off to the where you are. All right, so you're getting back to the entry wall, and it's sort of the mirror image ish of the wall outside, with all the picks and so forth.
But on this side, there's this big handle that says "Open."
Guys, give me an obstacle to perception test, and you can help each other.
Perception. So I got a 5 on that.
So is one of us helping the other?
Yes.
Well, that works.
I got 6 in perception.
Which means if you help Flint, he gets 2 dice. If Flint helps you, you get 1 die. I think you still win out.
Well, I got 2 successes, so not impressive, but
I'm no testing yet, please.
But oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I'll throw the...
I encourage that you're eager to get out of here. 7. And what was the obstacle again? 2.
2.
Yeah. All right.
1, 2, 3, 4. And if you want to burn a fate, you can make it a little, make it 5.
Maybe. That get us out of here faster, though, right? If I
yes. If you want to do it quickly, yes. I should really assume that by now.
Yeah. No.
Okay. Well, that's still 4, right? So that's double. So you relatively quickly find this little niche in the sidewall, which was partly obscured by this annoying sort of dwarf sculpture, mm-hmm. with a fancy iron turn handle that you just turn about, and there's this big cog sounding sort of machinery stuff. The wall just sinks into the floor. And it just seems to vanish like it was always a floor.
There we go.
But does it take him? But does it get him out?
It opens up. It opens up into the tunnel where the pony Bill is standing, sort of looking at you like.
Okay, so when they go, so if you send someone back up there, you're gonna find there's no one in that room anymore.
You can hear now. You can hear the. Hello! Echoing.
Pop girl, get back here. We opened the door.
What? You found a whore?
No, that should try that. I'll get back here faster.
Well, if I hear that, you know, that the door open, I'll tell Bruna that and head our way back down again, I guess.
Yes. Picking the rope and all with you.
Well, while you were up there, did you see any signs of survivors?
Nay, I grabbed my traitor mug. It's still there on the Pernis.
I'm disappointed because I don't think any of Barty's crew survived.
And yeah, I think
well, they won't now.
Oh, you think any did?
Well, on the other hand, you only have a short time left before the expedition is going, so it would have been really by the seat of your pants if you wanted to get back in a timely fashion and go lead the people.
The only thing we found there were the dead, and we should let the dead rest.
Cleverly saying nothing about the interesting lineages.
Yeah, that would take too long to go sorting through all that. We don't have time. We'll sort it out and score you.
What Flint doesn't know.
That'd just make him want to stay, and we don't have time for that.
Yeah.
It's in his own best interest.
That is brilliant.
Come on. I'm going to Bill. Come on. Yeah, move on. Yeah, laggards. Yes, no respect for the prince.
Bruna sidles up to Flint at least. He goes, well, at least we know... Something. I have a decent idea what happened to the adventurers.
Yeah, I think the ones that made it through the iron door, from the sound of it, I think they were asphyxiated or something.
I think you're just hearing ghosts in there.
That place does reek of death. I will give it that.
Mandrel never heard any of this, so he thinks they're
Nope. It's just,
Vandrel did not hear, and Flint did not read, so everyone's walking around in their own bubble of ignorance.
Yeah. Very realistic.
If you look at it from Fandor's point of view, it's like, Ulfkel begins to babble about knocking and strange smells. Yeah. And Flint starts to say, I can hear him. He's just on the other side of this really dangerous looking door.
Exactly.
And then the Ulfkels just start getting really paranoid because, okay, it smells too good. The place is really old and it smells like fresh nog. No, no, we got to go.
It's the nog of warning. More likely the nog of death. But
but the nog of death is bittersweet.
So, of course, we run out before all the cool stuff that he had planned for us.
That's okay. I can stick it in to a later or different place. So you hurry back to the expedition. And people have pretty much just about finished up all their packing. For some reason, the brewers are taking an awful lot of time.
I sort of stop and stare. Bloody hell, can you move on? What do you think, you got time to do this?
They just jump to like crazy lemmings and start strapping things down and sort of whipping the ponies. But they still sort of lag behind.
I'm assuming the scouts are all rested.
There are a few scouts still here, but some of them were quote-unquote requisitioned by Roar since he took up the prince's mantle in getting people ready when he was away.
When I left, I would have gone to Roar and go, try to light a fire under everybody so we can get out of here quick.
We ain't got time for that. Shut that here. No. Yeah. So all of a sudden, he's like, everyone's like, his prince is staring at him like, what's wrong with Ulfkel?
He's not extra.
No. He must have got that caffeinated nog.
Yeah, everyone is pretty much packed, and things are beginning to move again. And so I guess you all fall in line into your various positions. So while the expedition sort of rolls into the depth as per into the further underway as per the pre-planned route, the brewers' wains are sort of, they're trying to keep up, and they're sort of bumping and rumbling like very precariously until just at this sharp turn. It sort of tilts. I forget the racing term, but it's like a straight with a sudden U, and then the straight continues.
Oh, a hairpin.
Yeah, right. It's like that, and then they're sort of maneuvering the wains through it into the further tunnel, and then something just cracks in one of the wains, and you have apprentices going, and just throwing themselves.
Put your backs against it! Keep it from falling over!
Yeah, and just the mash tun begins to slide off the tilting wain top, and Rory's standing there going, oh my father! Boom! And it just crashes down on one of his legs, and he's just, like a crushed dwarf. And, you know, there's a big, huge racket, and it's echoing all over. And luckily, most of the stuff is safe. There's a little bit of spillage, but the wain is broken down. You're not moving.
Oh, and Rory's got a broken leg, or smashed leg.
Yeah, pinned, crushed. We'll see. We'll see. It depends. So what are you doing, you poor things?
Well, we're grabbing wherever we can to lever that thing off of work, because right now I have my star apprentice is pinned underneath this thing. I'm going to try to prize up the mash tun enough so we can get him out from underneath it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you see, apprentices sort of being all in a panic, and they're doing all the wrong things.
Stop!
Rory's going, no, don't stop! Get it off of me!
You, over there with those long poles, get some rocks underneath them to start prizing up the mash tun. You, over there, get a hold of Rory, prepare to pull them out. You, over there, can the others get some lines on that mash tun to pull from the other side? We're gonna get this thing off of him carefully.
They're really running in circles like mad.
If I had to, I'm gonna step forward and start grabbing them, physically grabbing them.
Yes, you're sort of, you have one in a headlock and you're sort of grabbing the other by the collar, and sort of they're not sure what to do when they're all in a panic. And Hjalmar's standing there very calmly, and he reaches over with his chains and goes, well, you know, Ulfkel, I'm pretty strong. I could probably lift this thing, but I'd need to get out of these chains. I'd hate to see something happen to your star apprentice.
Oh, he gets.
And he has this monstrous gleam in his eye, like.
Oh, he if looks.
He
could
knew
kill.
It would happen.
If looks could kill. So you say you can lift a ton of mesh? Yeah, right.
Between you and me, of course we could. Aren't you the spider breaker of Marl?
No. Oh, that's talkie dolls in the back. They're going to try to corral the apprentices. I mean,
you're going to ignore him.
Yeah, for right now.
Yeah, okay. So give me an obstacle to command test.
Yeah, I don't have command. Woo, I'm going to open up command. And that's based on what? Will?
Will, yes. Meanwhile, you know, at the head of the column, you can hear this
scream.
Racket toward the back in this, you know, hairpin tunnel.
And then you hear screaming, because I think Rory's not going to be taking this not without some screams.
And, of course, you hear Ulfkill's distinctive voice echoing down the tunnel.
So what's the obstacle again?
Two, which if it's...
It's going to double.
I guess four, yeah.
You're going to get that one persona. It gets me up to six dice.
Cool.
And I got to be a four. So come on, sixes. Oh, yeah, I'm going to spend that fate and get that extra die. The three fours and a six.
When I heard this, I'm grabbing Flint going, ow, what the fuck are you doing now? Let's go to the three.
Oh, are you asking Flint to do it for you, or
no,
are you going?
I'm grabbing him and going back there.
All right.
By the time you get down, you see me. I've got my apprentices wrangled. We're getting the pry bars in the right spot, and hopefully we're going to try to get that mash tun off of.
Looks bad. The mash tun wane, the wheel just broke completely, and it just slid off and pinned the star apprentice. And it's just, well, you succeeded on your command. Right?
Yeah. So we're getting, we're lifting the mash tun off of his legs, and they got apprentices. We're going to pull him out from underneath it, but we're going to need to see the healer.
You're going to need a lot more than that. It's a big, huge, freaking mash tun. So you have all the help you can possibly need. So that's two extra dice, but it's still a power test.
Oh.
So if you other dwarves want to pitch in, feel free.
Sure.
So
you can help with a power test.
I'm at four. And I get another dice from my apprentices?
You get two dice from your apprentices. You have your straight power, and then depending on what the other two dwarves have in their power stats.
Five.
Got a five.
Okay, so four extra dice from your quite potent friends.
Eight.
That is an obstacle five power test.
It puts me at eight. I have no persona left. I'm looking to see if I can fork something in.
Stats. Sorry.
It's stats. Okay, so it's a straight stat test. Okay, so I have four plus four. It gives me eight. I got to be a five.
If you succeed, you successfully dig him out without serious injury. If you fail, it's too late, right? He's been seriously injured.
Ooh. One, two, three, four, but I got a six, so I'm going to spend that fate. Yes! One, two, three, four, five!
Todd suffering under the ministrations of the dog?
No, that was Todd doing a quick impersonation of the count. Two, three, four, five!
Okay.
With a massive groan, we get that the mesh tin is levered up.
So how many dice did you have?
Four dice for myself, and I had four extra helpers.
So eight then, since they count. Okay, well, that is sadly a routine test for you. No particular thing, but the helpers get to record a difficult power test.
Oh.
Flint and Fandral.
Sometimes it's good to help, you know.
Actually, we're going to keep on helping because I want to make a field dressing role if I can to help minister to the poor apprentice until the apothecary shows up.
Since you have abandoned the vault, maybe perhaps, Flint, you would like to revisit one of your beliefs, like make sure the party gets to Scoria Deep safely. Save apprentice Rory's leg or something? You could change.
Sure, I don't know right if away. I'm. I guess right away then.
You're not getting any persona points for discover the fate of the Avenging Dwarves anyway, since it was kind of halfway.
We need to get the Wainwrights to help us build a new axle and wheel. Looks like, and probably make sure the wagon's okay. But I also want them to investigate the wheel because someone's being too certain of the wheel breaking.
guess who's the carpenter wheelwright, Cartwright? You.
Yeah, I'm a carpenter, but is that a separate skill?
You might be able to circle someone up among the dwarves, but for the present, you are the actual only one with vaguely applicable skill. Yeah,
I just want to make sure there isn't actually a Wainwright skill.
There is a Cartwright skill. I'd be willing to let you use carpentry with a slightly higher obstacle.
We don't have a Cartwright with us.
like I said, you could definitely circle one up. You know, make the rounds around the expedition and look for someone with expert skill, right? But first of all, I think Todd needs to test his field dressing to see if he can do something about the leg injury.
Between and field dressing.
I'm going to call it an obstacle too. He's not terribly injured. You could probably fix it up to the point where he can limp along and it will heal in an expedient manner if you succeed.
We'll do that carefully because we don't want to mess it up.
All right. Cool. That gives you an extra die and more time.
I need a new die roller.
Ooh,
all right. Well, interesting.
Well, now we got to wait for the apothecary.
Get the apothecary. He says, this is a little bit trickier than I thought it was.
Is that bone?
It's just sort of dislocated, right? And you do your best, but he's still not good.
If I get someone to help me, do I get a chance to re-roll that?
No, not until the conditions are sufficiently changed and you're still trying to clout to the same injury.
Is it no one else can try either?
Well, obviously the apothecary can do it. And, he'll reliably do it, but it'll maybe take a little longer time to work the heal now that it took time before he got proper treatment. That is, by the by, a routine test.
Now I'm going to put on my shades, and CSI that wheel. Take the glasses off. Trouble goes around here.
This is where Fandral, points to Hjalmar and says, well, when you invite trouble, if you want to investigate this, see if there's any, foul play, then that's a perception test, obstacle three, that's a bit much, too. And since this is in the interest of the present beliefs of Fandral, you could certainly help.
I will do so.
Perception is six.
And give you two dice.
And I get two dice. So I have eight dice for this. This is basically a routine. Ooh. So one, two, three. Yeah, I got three successes. So that's enough for me to examine the wheels and the axle. So was any foul play?
Oh, yeah. It seems like someone's doctored the axle and the wheel. Not only be susceptible to pressure and so forth, but also to have... It seems like there's a piece missing, like a wedge that could have been pulled out.
Probably from the suspension. And at that point, that's how the cart would start sinking down, putting more pressure, and eventually it'll break something. Back. Yeah.
Yes.
Walk over to Gargamel.
Standing there to the side with his chains and
haul off and hit him.
I'm sorry, what?
Haul off and hit him.
Okay, you connect. He flies to the tunnel floor, spitting blood.
And just turn around and walk away.
No.
What?
Oh, you stop him? Okay.
No, I'm just going to kill him. He did this. He's your responsibility. You know what you have to do. You don't just hit him.
He has many crimes against him that have to be judged by the guild.
No. I'm judging here.
Whoa, says Galmar, spitting blood, like, what proof do you have? What? Are you just, calling me a saboteur just because I happen to have chains?
I'm surprised that you're not dead yet.
Well, so am I. I'm trying to make the most of it.
Yes, obviously. Do you have any words to say that could save your life in this?
I didn't do it.
I don't know if there's even a given baleful stare and all that. He just starts sweating profusely and sort of fidget with his chains and go, well, damn. Well, I'm sure you can get some apprentice to verify that I was no near that wagon at any point of packing or anything. Right? Boy. Right? Guys, right?
Oh, I wish I had Baleful Stare, because I'm looking at the apprentices.
They're looking kind of grim, but no one looks sure. I mean, it's obvious that they think he did it, but nobody appears to have any proof.
A wedge was sticking out of the suspension. That weakened it. The wedge wouldn't have came out by itself.
Well, it's a bumpy road.
The wedge wouldn't have come out by itself unless it had been prized out.
Find it, then.
Oh, so we can go back along the road and see if we can find where it fell out.
Well, if you're gonna convict an innocent dwarf like that, why, yes. Shouldn't you have some proof?
You're not innocent.
Well, relatively speaking, in this case.
He's become too much of a liability and a risk to this party, Yuvkil. It was your responsibility. Take care of him.
My lord, what do you wish me to do with him? And it's the first time I think I've called him my lord in a long time.
He is a liability to this party. Eliminate the liability.
That's where he bolts.
What exactly do you want me to do with him, my lord?
The method is up to you.
Yeah,
it's called delegation of authority here.
Yeah, but this is also called, I want him to say the words.
You want to drown him in beer? Go ahead. If you want to hit him with your hammer, go ahead.
So we're on the same page. He started running. At the first word of elimination, he just picked up his chains and started running.
Ooh. So I have a brand new dwarven axe.
Isn't he chained to something?
To something, no. No.
Oh. No,
but his chains are an obstacle, so he can't really run too fast.
Then I'm going to slap Oakville on the back and go, get him!
I got a question. Now, a dwarven axe, is it a throwing axe?
You can throw it, I'm sure. It's a dwarven axe, I wouldn't say. It's probably cleverly crafted enough that you wouldn't have an obstacle with it.
Right, got a brand new axe. I'm hefting it, and I'm going to try to hit him with it.
Time to open up throwing, then.
I see it done many times.
It doesn't look that hard.
He's not moving that fast.
There's no wind.
So are we at optimal range?
He's not gone that far, so I'm not going to give you any bonuses or negatives for the test.
Do I get to get the add on the axe, though?
Sure, why not? So it's a beginner's luck throwing, which would be agility, right?
Agility, yes.
That's a B6. All right,
you are one agile dwarf.
Yeah.
All right, that's an obstacle 4 after doubling.
6 dice. Ooh, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'm going to spend the fate on that, and that gives me 2 dice. Ooh. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4.
I'm going.
Yeah. I rolled a 6.
But you got a 4 already, right? So you have the...
There we go. Got
but okay,
six.
Fair enough. No, this is good. Okay.
There you go. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 successes. Does that give me anything on damage?
Prodigious throw of kill.
Yeah. How do you kill him?
Oh, it's going right into his back. He's running
right
away.
Between the shoulder blades or what?
Right between the shoulder blades.
Snap his spine.
Yeah, he just goes down like a doped ox, like boom, slides along the floor a bit.
That'll score some points with your apprentices.
Or make them mortally afraid of failing.
Did you see what he did? He sure threw his ribs.
Because I'm looking at the damage. If that actually is severe damage, looking at the stats, yeah, that's a B11.
Yeah, like I said, he's dead.
Yeah.
He's as dead as he can be.
Walk over, place a foot on his back, and prize the axe out, making sure I push it in first before I pull it out, just to make sure.
We did gain something out of this adventure.
Oh, yeah.
Nice axe.
Yeah, the apprentices are just gawping.
Well, don't stand there. We need those chains.
There's a chorus of, sorry, yes, sir.
Well done, Oko. Well done.
Oh, I probably rip a bit of his tunic off and wipe the blood off the axe.
Awesome. I love how people are just dying right and left, and you're causing most of them.
We lost almost 2 dozen people this episode.
Damn! Walk over and, you know, hang the axe off my belt and walk over to the Rory. Are you okay, lad? We'll get through this.
At least you got the bastard.
Aye. Where's that apothecary?
He's you can see his apprentice is making way through the line, and Rory points to the wheel like, we should do something about that quick.
We'll let the apothecary take care of him, Wolfgang. Now let's get to work on this cart.
But gonna need some spare, need some wood and so forth. Look, I'm gonna, you know, basically when I did the examination, how's the axle? Is the axle shot, or do I need to make a new axle? Because I imagine
you don't need a new axle, but what you could do is you could make like a jury rig, like. What would be the word? Like, you could strengthen it or reinforce it, right? And then you could try to fix the wheel, which is kind of broken.
Yeah, well, we'll see about
it. It would take a little time, but you can do it with the skills you have.
We're going to have to jury-rig it, because if we don't have any axles with us, we're going to have to, yeah.
I plan this expedition. I plan for these contingencies. Yeah. We've got some spares.
Do
we? All right. We can call that a resources test if you want.
All right.
That would be an obstacle 2 resources test for our monstrously rich dwarven prince. But as we know with the dice.
Yeah. Oh, and was that that was a difficult test, routine test, or?
Before doubling, it would have been a routine agility test, which would have gone toward opening throw.
All right, so throwing, yay.
Hey, you succeeded with flying colors, mostly red.
Now we won't have the satisfaction of taking before the guild. Well, we still can try him in absentia.
Now he's dead, which he deserved to be, because he plotted to kill me.
There's certain things you gotta do. He was an apprentice. He was technically part of the guild. We have to strike his name properly from the records.
I think he's already been struck enough.
Let's have the final like resources test to have an axle happy that you can just.
I got 7 successes.
Whoa!
Which of these axles will work?
I've thrown a brand new wheel in there too. In that case.
Yeah. Yes. It's just you have your supply wagon full of that stuff. Given that you just have to fit this new axle onto the wagon, you can toss the wheel in the old axle. There's not even a test.
And Rory gets to ride on the wagon now.
For a little while, until he can start limping and so on.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you won't be able to test his skill this time. That'll certainly be for next session. I think that's where we'll leave it this time. And next time we'll go into the... maybe if you want, we can do a little time jump. And, we can start next time with a few, linked tests to get you through some hurdles and have some, narrative color. And then we get to some new crazy challenges.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll still be underway.
The end of session stuff.
Yeah. Arta Awards. Yay.
Yay.
Awesome. Okay, for fate, I think you hit a number of beliefs. At least, you tested things right and left to get at everything, really. And judging by the way it looks presently, for Fandral, then, he certainly made sure that Flint didn't die horribly in the ancient vault. Which, if it's a persona point, you succeeded in that. I don't remember asking for a specific test, so I'm not giving you fate for it. But a persona point for that. And you certainly got the mobile brewery rolling again, so that's another persona point. And a fate point for helping getting it moving with several different interesting tests. You have certainly gotten the party moving again and into the underway. So that's, again, fate and persona. So 3 persona and 2 fate for beliefs.
Thank you.
Going over to Flint. Let's see. Oh, you didn't really discover the secret of the puzzle wall, but you did make an awful lot of tests.
Yeah, and I did find that there was a tomb behind it.
True. The secret of the tomb, however, remains nebulous. And the only hints are locked deep within Fandral's devious, greedy mind.
Yeah.
So a fate, at least, for discovering the secret, and a fate for discovering the fate of the adventuring dwarves. No persona there. Going over to Ulfkell, you will make sure you leave on time. You certainly did.
Yeah. So
and you certainly tested things for it, so that's fate and persona.
Yay!
You didn't really pursue any truth to Barney's ridiculous claims at all.
No.
Which is
no.
fine. That's the way it was. You didn't get to test Rory quite yet.
Nope.
A little stuff. A few stuff, anyway. A few things. The instincts, then. I'm not sure you got really super in danger because of any this time.
Though I did argue about getting the distinct orders from Fandral.
It didn't really get you in trouble, though.
Yeah, you're right. If anything, improved my reputation amongst the apprentices.
Which brings me to embodiment persona, which I think all of you should get. We're certainly in it. No real mold breaker. We covered personal goals. Well, I guess let's vote on the workhorse. That dude you rely upon in any given situation who has the right skills or equipment and makes the scene go, slaving away behind the scenes.
Well, this seemed to be kind of a oof-kill-centric episode.
Even though it's about something about your what you wanted to do.
Yeah, but the dice betrayed me. It said somebody else needs the spotlight.
Well, I'd certainly give him a fate point for that prodigious axe throw, persona point.
Well, definitely. Yeah, okay, why not?
The right skill at the right time, even if he didn't have
it. Well, he did have it, but it was humorous. So it's
oh, yeah.
Humor.
Yeah, if there's one for humor, Ulfkel definitely scored that, too.
So MVP, then, the dude we can all agree that you couldn't have done it without him, brings the story to its conclusion.
I'm sorry, was that one persona or two persona?
One persona for humor. Yeah. And one fate for humor and one persona for workhorse.
All right.
And then we go to MVP, character who drives the story to its conclusion, who shines in the last moments and about whom everyone agrees, damn, we couldn't have done it without him.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to base it off of one role, but damn, that resources pulled our fat out of the fire.
Sure yeah. did.
He was making sure that we were... You know, sticking to plan as much as we could.
True.
I'm willing to give it to the prince.
Yeah.
Like you. I said, this was not Flint's episode.
Kept him from dying in some old musty tomb, so.
Or worse yet, being trapped forever as a spirit in the tomb.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear. Okay, I wrote down some situational, like, tests for so-and-so, like steel and so forth, for eventual stuff that didn't really happen. So I'm just going to go over them quickly and see if anything is still relevant.
Successfully circumvented your plans.
Yes. advancing your political aims at the expense of a friend, well... that would be, sadly, a routine green test for the prince. It doesn't really
faze
him.
It's something he would routinely do.
Yes, it's just something that he does, and it doesn't really... matter, you know, it won't push him up to any new level of greeditude. Well, I could have maybe given you an interesting test there, but, well, I think it was probably prudent to leave all those tablets alone. Otherwise, you might have stayed there.
Yes.
Pretty much everything else is stuff that didn't happen. So, cool. I think we covered all of it. And no deeds today.
I just realized I have throwing for the axe, but I don't have axe itself. Oh, I'll learn that one later.
Well, you're more likely to throw paddles and mugs and axes. And so throwing is probably something that you would probably be more comfortable with.
So he doesn't have to get up out of his chair.
Yeah. You have your axe for range, and then you hammer them.
I doubt I'm going to get a throw like that again, too, though. It was totally appropriate. You can just see the steam coming out of Ufkel's ears when he's just running away, just grabs his axe, and just, you know, which is, it looks like he's practiced it, you know. It spins in the air, and all of a sudden, swack, and down he goes.
If dice were once a form of divination, I'm sure we just saw the will of the gods.
Yeah.
It's just either that or it was Chekhov's axe. Yeah, in scene one, yeah, we have the axe. It'll reappear later.
Yeah, too bad, you know, it wasn't the ex version of Majorna. Then all of a sudden he's holding his hands out, fuck, back in his hand, you know.
You never know what you'll find or make later. Yeah. But that's true. That's an interesting quirk that you, that was actually like a random, I meant to have various dwarves in various states of death, but the axe was really just a color that I made up today. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting and cool that it traveled from the tomb to the back of the point.
Yeah, from one traitor to another traitor.
Yes.
Ooh, you know, that's the name he's – yeah, I was thinking naming it. He's calling it Traitor's Bane.
Ooh. Is he christening it in beer?
It's all been Christian in blood. But yeah, having a beer over it.
That's all I got for you today.
Hey, that's more than enough. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Good gaming, one and all. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye. I've got a dog walking around with a shoe. Be back right back.
Send all complaints and other feedback. SunnySkypers@zoho.com or come by the forums, sunnyskypers.freeforums.org. Or yell at us at whatever forum you may come across us on.